Let's go back.
By the way, that was a pretty funny comment from Mac Brown that you let in with. I mean, I don't know what planet he's on.
Well, we discussed there aren't many coaches who get an opportunity to not offer not one but two Heisman Trophy winners scholarships to your school when they would have listened if you just offered them the right position. But again, Mac Brown's the best coach in college football, as we've already established, at least in his own mind. Hey, let's go back for a minute and talk, because we discussed a little bit last week, but people sometimes don't have it right on their radar screen. Basically, y'all have decided that the student loan process needs to be changed. Excuse me, the student success equation needs to be changed, and no child left behind is really not working. So you're kind of reinventing it. Is that about right?
That's correct. One of the things we've tried to do is we've looked at federal involvement in education, K-12 education, over the past three decades. And we've spent hundreds of billions of dollars and really haven't gotten anything to show for it, except for building a huge administrative cost structure for schools and for states. And so what we propose to do is go back to more of the fundamentals, and that's to empower our local teachers, to empower our local school districts, and to put the state and local governments, or local folks, back in charge of their school systems. We took 70 different programs where the federal government doles out money and says, look, we're going to get rid of those. We're going to block grant money to the states. And then the states can use it to fit the individual needs of their students as they see best. So that's in a nutshell what we did. And we took it. The other thing is that the Obama administration was doing, it was coming up with what was called a Common Core set of standards. And a lot of people in Texas and other states have been very concerned about having the federal government come up with a one-size-fits-all educational solution, and then it was using federal dollars to coerce states to force them to follow these Common Core standards. So we blew that up so that the states can set their own standards.
Bill Flores joining us from D.C. Let's turn our attention to the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. Senator Mike Lee, he is a Republican from Utah, is predicting that a vast majority of the Senate Republican Conference will back his plan that basically would shut the government down to keep from funding the Affordable Care Act. Now, we know that the government shut down in 1995, and that did not go well for the Republicans. He says it's a different world right now. There's a groundswell of it because of the Affordable Care Act. He says he's gotten 64 other Republicans to sign on to a letter to leadership saying, don't bring anything to the House floor, that would include funding for Obamacare. I'd like to get your thoughts there.
Well, first of all, it's a little easier when you're in the minority to say things like that, to make extreme statements. And I don't know if Mike Lee would be able to get 40 senators to block this particular thing. The second thing I would say is, if you look at the appropriations bills, whether it's continuing resolutions or appropriations bills that have been passed since I've been in Congress over the last 2.5 years, there has never, ever been a line in those bills that says funding for the implementation of Obamacare. And so what he's talking about doing is having a limitation amendment that says in every appropriations bill or in a continuing resolution says no funds in this bill shall be used to fund the implementation of this terrible law. In the past, we've been reluctant to put that in because you knew it was going to be very contentious. Now, I think the world has changed since the last time we looked at funding legislation about 6 months ago. And I believe that the American people would support us if we said, look, if we don't stop Obamacare now, it's going to turn the federal government into Detroit. And so we feel like it's appropriate to go ahead and draw a line in the sand and to make sure that we put these limitation amendments to stop the funding for Obamacare and to do it with this next round of appropriations bills, or if we wind up with a continuing resolution, to do it with that. So I support the effort. I think we need to be smart about it, though. I mean, if it looks like the American people are moving against you, then the last thing you need to do is put yourself in a position where you lose the House, which is the firewall to keep the president from doing all the things he tried to do in his first 2 years in office.
Sure. Bill Flores joining us this morning from D.C. Now, been some discussion about the NSA amendments that and y'all are about to leave town, so do you see that there's be some action on that before you leave?
Yes, sir. We will vote on the amendments were offered by Justin Amash from Michigan, and I expect that we will vote on those amendments either today or tomorrow as part of the Department of Defense Appropriations Bill. There are 100 amendments that we're going to consider that bill, and Justin's are going to be toward the end of it. And here's kind of the rub that we have, the lay of the land that we have. I've been through 4 classified hearings with the NSA and with the FBI to review their terrorism operations. And the sense I get is that you've got a lot of people in the NSA and a lot of people in the FBI that are working real hard to comply with the law, and that they're following the Constitution to protect our Americans' First and Fourth Amendment rights, and that they're also doing a pretty good job of thwarting terrorist activities, not only in the United States and around the world. I think it's been publicly announced that there are 54 events that they stopped. Those people are working real hard, and they're doing a good job. What I think causes the problems for most Americans is they don't trust the government, the federal government. They worry about what they're looking at, what records they're keeping, and so forth. And I don't blame them. And part of the reason that I don't trust the government is because of the people at the top of these two organizations. Essentially, at the top of the FBI, you have Attorney General Eric Holder, who has lied to Congress. He's been held in contempt by Congress. So clearly, America doesn't trust him. Leading the Director of National Intelligence, which is essentially the person over the NSA, you've got James Clapper, who's also lied to Congress. And so, in my view of the world, is that if you could sit down with the administration and say, these two folks have to go, and then we can continue to fund the NSA. If you don't let them go, then we're going to have to clip the wings on these programs. So that we know that we protected American privacy. And so that's kind of where I am on this thing. And whether or not we're going to get there, I don't know. Otherwise, if we can't get Clapper and Holder to agree to resign, I think I may have to vote with Amash. But then I worry, 5 years from now, after there's been another 9/11 event, and there will be one if we shut these programs down, then we're going to be saying, why didn't we do more? Instead of going the wrong way from an intelligence gathering standpoint.
Bill Flores joining us from Washington this morning. Story and roll call today. Of course, you're about to go into recess, and you will be back in the district, and you'll be holding town hall meetings. And what roll call is saying is that Republicans have basically been given a handbook, that you've been given a detailed guide as you come back to these town hall meetings to tell the story that Washington is broken. As they say, the best way to stay in Washington appears to be to deride Washington, and Republican leadership isn't going to deviate from that familiar formula. That's out of roll call. I'd like to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I haven't seen the handbook yet, but from what I understand, that's what is being worked on and what's going to be passed out before we go. I have never been a big fan about saying what you're against. I've always been more of a fan about saying what you're for. If your mission statement is, we don't like this, 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 and this, I don't believe that's a mission statement to succeed. If your mission statement is, I am in Washington because I want Americans to have better jobs and better lives and better opportunities, I think that's more the way I'm focused, what we're for and not what we're for against. Now, in order to be for American families having better opportunities and better jobs and so forth, you can say, part of the problem that's keeping us from achieving those goals or that mission is we've got a federal government that's out of control. And then you can talk about the things you change in the federal government. But just coming out and saying the headline is we're going to bash Washington, I don't think is a winner.
You've introduced a bill. You introduced it last Thursday. It was H.R. 2778, and basically it has to do with fracking and how there are state guidelines and what, as I understand it, what this HR would do is change it so that you would go ahead and use the state guidelines when necessary, rather than have some sort of an overarching federal policy. And I wonder about that, because obviously from state to state, the rules on fracking probably vary quite a bit.
That's correct. Essentially what's happened is you've got 10 to 12 different federal agencies that are looking to impose regulations on hydraulic fracturing. Now, there's a couple of things you have to look at when you think about that. Number one is, what statutory authority, in other words, what laws has Congress passed that gives the federal government the right to do that? And really, there's only one or two statutes that give the federal government limited authority. So to the extent the federal government wants to go beyond that, then it is exceeding its statutory authority, and those and that rulemaking is unconstitutional. So that's step number one, or item number one to think about. The second item is, what are the? Why is the federal government wanting to do this? What is wrong with hydraulic fracturing? I mean, what events have they proven have been a problem? Well, apparently none. We've had two EPA administrators come out and say that fracking doesn't cause any groundwater issues. We've had the new DOE secretary come out and say that that hydraulic fracturing as it exists today is a good practice that is necessary. We've had two or three studies recently that can find no evidence of any sort of pollution coming from hydraulic fracturing. So therefore, you have to ask the question, why are these federal agencies wasting all their time to do this? And so what my bill proposes to do is to put this back in states' hands, because the bottom line is, the fact of the matter is, the states have done a good job of regulating this. That's the reason there are no problems to report from hydraulic fracturing. Now, there are, you know, a couple of movies out, Gasland 1 and 2, that have tried to dramatize problems with it, but it's a movie. I mean, they're movies, and the incidents they report were all widely discredited as being caused by hydraulic fracturing. So it's just basically a way to assert, my bill is a way to assert the primacy of states' rights and to restrict the ability of the federal government to go down a rabbit trail that it doesn't have the statutory authority to go down. I've invited Christy Craddock, one of the Texas Railroad Commissioners, to testify at our hearing tomorrow on this, and she is graciously accepted. And I look forward to her and other state regulatory officials talking about why they think they do it just fine and we don't need the federal government to get involved.
That's a Subcommittee on Energy and Mineral Resources, is that right? Is that where that's going to be?
That's correct, of the Natural Resources Committee. Yeah. Now, one of the things, by the way, I wanted to give our listeners something to think about, and I'm going to use this analogy tomorrow. I love my iPad. It has changed the way that I work, and it is a great product. But the thing that makes that iPad work is the charger. Well, if you look at this explosion and natural gas, explosion is probably not a good word, but if you look at this great increase in natural gas production that we've had of abundant, inexpensive natural gas, it's caused a revolution in manufacturing jobs. And what is it that's put us in that position? It's because the new technologies we're using in hydraulic fracturing, essentially the charger for natural gas, for a natural gas world that we have today in the United States, this new environment, is hydraulic fracturing. And so I think we need to be very careful about letting the federal government overstep its bounds, and that's the reason I introduced this legislation. And by the way, I've got Democratic co-sponsors as well.
Oh, there you go. Well, and obviously, no question, it's done well for Texas. Bill Flores joins us just about every Wednesday. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Hopefully we'll talk to you next week, Bill.